Welcome back to Big Facts No Cap, the number one podcast with the Titanic crashing and lights, camera, action. As always, we got Paul in the studio. Unfortunately, we don't have Adrian in the studio, but it's still your boy Phil. Let's get to Big Factin'. Let's get to No Capping.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap.
No Cap.
Big Facts.
No.
Cap. Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
If, let's say the podcast blew up and you and Adrian started getting like way too much money, would you get a celebrity fitness trainer, or do you think that would be a little cocky of you?
You know, it does work for them. It's shocking how many completely flabby, unathletic people, as long as you have enough money, you can just turn that around in your 30s and 40s.
Oh, yeah. It's like the guy from, I don't watch Always Sunny, but it's the guy from Always Sunny who got in shape like so easy. And he even made fun of how easy it was to do it because he's rich. Jimmy Kimmel asked him, like, in an interview on his show, I was like, so how'd you get in shape? And he's like, it's easy. Just have enough money to have a dietitian, a nutritionist, a personal trainer, and have all the home gym equipment that you want. And it's pretty easy. You're just lazy if you can't do it. It was like a joke, but like, I thought it was so funny.
I mean, I think it's kind of true, though, a little bit, right? Like, if somebody else is managing it all for you.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. If I was rich, I would have a six pack. I would just buy it, though. I would just get the surgery like Drake.
Are there rumors Drake did that? Because I know it's confirmed, like it's weirdly obvious that what's his name did that, white rapper Riff Raff.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. That's funny.
Riff Raff, it's like you can see the silicone molds in his biceps. It's like freaky.
That is really weird. I didn't know that.
But what is the Drake thing? Is this confirmed? Is it a rumor?
It's like, I think it's a rumor. I don't think any doctors have came out, and because I guess that's a HIPAA violation to say like I did Drake's abs, you know. There has been like TikTok doctors though, or like doctors who are on TikTok that point out why it's very clear that he has fake abs. But then also that was one of Kendrick's big bars in Euphoria when he was like, let your core audience stomach that and tell them where you got your abs from.
Oh,
because it's been a circulating rumor. Just looking at his abs, it just doesn't look, I guess, proportionate to the rest of his body.
Yeah, that's why you're looking at his abs all the time. That's why you're yeah. pulling up 10 monitors, yeah. googling Drake's abs. Drake's
I'm not pulling up any monitor.
Naked.
I'm just looking at the shirtless poster of Drake right above my computer. All right, I'm not a weirdo looking up it on my computer. I have the printed version of it, and I can say with the abs is not proportionate to his body.
It's not proportionate, Paul. It's driving me crazy.
I just have all these pictures of shirtless Drake on a bulletin board and strings attached. It's like a whole case I'm trying to crack. Trying to crack Drake.
You know, everybody says it's so easy to make friends, but when I try to talk to people at a bar and I start telling them about how it's obvious that Drake's abs are fake, they just don't want to talk to me, man.
Yeah, you lift up your shirt, like, this is those real abs, unlike Drake. Y'all know Drake's abs are fake, right? And they're like, this is, please get away from me.
I'm trying to make friends.
They're trying to make friends. That's the one thing we can all connect on, that nobody likes Drake. And we all know that his abdomens are not real. You can kind of say that about any rapper and their teeth, you know? To be like, you know Rick Ross's teeth are veneers? And it's like, yeah, okay.
Because a lot of them didn't go to a dentist or a doctor until they got rich.
I guess so, yeah, but unlike J. Cole, because J. Cole has said multiple times he keeps his twisted grill to show the kids it's real.
Mm.
Which, if I was a famous rapper, I wouldn't be going up to kids smiling real big, being like, it's real. I'd be like, yo, get away from my kid. We don't want to see your nasty ass teeth. Get veneers if you're going to smile that big at my kid.
Don't break my heart. Don't tell me Danny Brown's teeth aren't natural. This is my impression of a guy who got into Danny Brown 2 years ago.
I mean, if I got rich, I'd be the first thing I would do is fix my teeth. I don't know if I would get veneers.
What's up
though
with your teeth? No, you got a charming gap. You don't need to get rid of that.
I don't know. I don't know if I love my gap anymore. Next, I got
you got that Paul Scheer charm to you. You can't get rid of it. It's going to be your iconic gap.
I'm already bald like Paul Scheer. I can't steal his old look, all right? listen, he's a comedian, he's bald, and he has gap teeth. Nah, nah. He's the only bald gap teeth comedian, and he's great at it. He's great at it. I can't cop a swag like that.
And you did do a show where you made fun of bad movies for a while. You kind of were coming for Paul Scheer a weird
Damn,
amount.
Damn, I was. But hey, you were copying the swag of that comedian that apparently opened for Tim Dillon because everybody thought that you were that guy. It was like, I think we determined that like y'all were just wearing something like kind of similar.
I was wearing a beanie. And he was wearing a beanie and we were both bearded.
See, sometimes like if I like bomb on a show or an open mic and I have a feeling that I may bomb because of the crowd or I'm not really feeling up for it, I maybe will wear a hoodie on stage or wear just my shirt on stage. And then when I get off of stage, I either put on my hoodie or take off my hoodie so people don't think that that's me that bombed. But I think I kind of like take it too far because I even talk to people like, y'all see that guy that was bombing up there? That was crazy. That guy sucked. He did way too many accents that I thought was appropriate. And then they're like, yeah, it's really hot in here though. Why are you wearing a full ski jacket? Why are you wearing a snow jacket in here?
Why are you in a beekeeper's outfit right now? Man, you never know. You never know. Now, anyway, you heard about
Richard
Drake's
Nixon
app.
President mask. Are you about to rob this place? Oh, man. What'd you get into today or this past week?
Nothing important. I did have some stuff from the week if you wanted to discuss pop culture stuff.
Ooh, yeah.
All right. I know you watched the UFC at the White House lawn. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to ask you, if the Democrats or a lefty person wins the next election, what do they have to do to one-up that from the left?
Oh, they got to do it on the North Lawn. Okay. Which I think much
more in the lane of like drag brunch in the White House lawn.
Oh, I love that. Oh, so except for doing UFC, what else would it? Oh, I would just like do UFC on the other side of the White House. I like drag brunch way better. That I love that. So no sporting events, really just like a show.
I did have one sporting event or actually two. Okay, my other two ideas were gymnastics on the White House lawn, since that's always kind of like lib-coded a little bit. I don't know why, but it is.
Yeah,
and WNBA at the White House lawn.
Ooh, I love that. I love that. Outside basketball, they're gonna, especially if it's during the summer, if it's like for another, because I guess the point of this was that it was America's 250th birthday or something like that. And
Trump's 80th.
So I guess we would have to do it on either that president's birthday or, yeah, I'd rather be that president's birthday because we're not really going to celebrate like the 254th birthday of America, really.
I will, but I'm a patriot.
Do you get America a gift? What do you get it?
We celebrate America's, like, right? We do July 4th every year.
Is July 4th? No, July 4th is like Independence Day. I don't think that's, is that America's birthday?
When is a country birthed other than when it got independence?
So I realize how stupid the question was as I was asking it. So I don't need the criticism, all right? I already realized it, and you just beat me to the cut in voicing how stupid of a question it is. I'm the smart one in this scenario.
When did America come out of Britain's pussy?
Oh, my God. I also assume Independence Day is when it moved out of Britain's house. It's independent now. They're like, to the left, to the left. But yeah, I guess their birthday is July 4th. So we celebrated their birthday early then. How was that? Wait, yeah, so how?
I mean, 250 years of America.
If their birthday was on June, let's see, 16th, 15th, 14th, which was Sunday, June 14th, then why is July 4th also their birthday? They get two birthdays? What, do they have divorced dads or something?
I think it was for 250 years of America, but it was Trump's birthday.
I got you. So they were celebrating America's birthday early, but Trump's birthday the day of.
Yeah, you got it. It's like when siblings have close birthdays and the parents combine them.
I would be annoyed if I was Trump. Be like, this is not their day. Their birthday is, they could have a different UFC event.
That is actually very much his personality.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. That I'm surprised Trump wasn't like really sitting beside America at that event, all pissed off. I do like this premise a lot. Like, what could we do for the next president of their, like, left-leaning? You kind of hit it out of the park with that, the WNBA and the gymnastics. I think that's pretty good. So maybe I don't want to continue with the premise, but I like it a lot. I like this idea, and I hope that happens.
I mean, they did motocross, and what's the gay version of motocross? Cirque du Soleil.
Oh, that's true. Is that what democracy is? Just the gay version of because when you were like gymnastics, because you went from drag brunch to gymnastics, you're like, that's also kind of gay.
No, I didn't say that it's gay. I said it's left-leaning. I don't know why the culture war breaks down this way.
No, that's true. That's true. I mean, left-leaning is generally more accepting of the LGBTQI plus community. This is a little bit of a sidetrack, but the whole male and female thing, I know it sounds so weird to say, but when I was talking about the two last white rhinos with a friend a few weeks ago, and I said, yeah, they're both females, he kind of like, he was like, ugh, like, you said females. I'm like, but it sounds like, I'm not going to be like, these two broads won't die. You know, like, I think it's best to be like, they're two females, so they can't breathe. These two ladies are stuck.
No, I feel like that's appropriate. People get weird about it with humans, but I think with animals, it's like, you're supposed to use the kind of clinical term.
Yeah, right? That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah.
These two women. White rhinos aren't women. That's weird.
These two white ladies.
These two white ladies. These two fucking Karens.
Yeah. Oh my God. We would be such fun scientists. I don't know what Adrian's doing over there in the lab, but he needs people like us, you know?
And then the last thing I had was, you know how people are dating AI nowadays?
Yeah. Other people besides us. I think I've heard of that.
I just had this really sad idea of a person in an abusive relationship with an AI. And then I was wondering which one you think is sadder. If a person is abusing their AI or if a person is being abused by their AI.
Here's the thing. Yeah, they're both sad, but I wouldn't feel bad for either of them. You know, like, if you're abusing AI, I guess that's funny, but that's sad that you're wasting your time doing that. If AI is abusing you, you kind of had it coming. Why are you making an AI girlfriend? Like,
it is really pathetic. But can you imagine a guy who's also so pathetic as to, like, yell at their computer to feel better about themselves? Be like, you piece of shit.
How is AI abusing them, though? Is AI telling them, like, you can't have any of your water, I need it?
No, the AI is like, oh, don't go out tonight. Just stay home and message me. I don't know.
Yeah, don't go out tonight. Don't drink tonight. Just have some water. You know what? Give me that water. I need it. It's just... Oh. That is very sad, though. Do you know anybody that, like, that uses AI or ChatGPT, like, to do almost anything? Because that's becoming more of a prominent thing with people I know.
What do you mean to do almost anything?
Like, okay, so, for example, I had a friend go to, like, a basketball game or something, and it was like, it was like a monster truck event. What was that, Monster Jam? It was at the basketball arena, though. And they were asking somebody, like, do you think I have enough time to go to the bathroom before, like, this next monster truck, like, Gravedigger or something comes out? And they were like, hold on, let me ask ChatGPT. And they asked ChatGPT about the event they were at and if they have enough time to go to the bathroom and which bathroom would be the closest. And they were like, I don't need that. I'm good. I'll just go for it. I'm okay with missing Gravedigger. We don't have to use ChatGPT. So, yeah, there are people like that.
My brother asks it questions sometimes, but I don't think for anything that obviously, like, just use your human intuition. Like, what's going on there?
Yeah. And I don't know. Yeah. Or I guess some people may ask, like, hey, do these clothes match, you know, for this job interview and stuff? And it's like,
oh, and then take a picture. Because I do know some people are doing that where they take a picture of their living room and they're like, how should I reorganize it?
Yeah, at that point, if you do, like, the job, you don't deserve that job. You should not go to the interview if you're using ChatGPT, because, like, how are you going to answer a question about your strengths and weaknesses, like, if you can't even match your clothes? How are you going to step out? How are you going to drive a car if you can't match your clothes with it? It's so simple.
That's so true, because I heard some people are even, like, asking it, like, have you heard Drake's abs are kind of fake, or...
Mm-hmm. Oh, just texting ChatGPT, like, do you... Are Drake's abs fake?
No, not asking it. Explaining.
Just making conversation with AI, and the only topic you know is Drake's.
You're talking to ChatGPT. You know Drake's abs. You're just like, hey, you want to hear an interesting fact? Yeah, did you know that Drake's abs are fake, according to a lot of doctors on TikTok?
Unlike you, ChatGPT, you are real to me. You're my best friend. And even ChatGPT is like, what are you talking about? I'm out. I'm not. Well, that's good. Good stuff. Do you have any more culture war topics you wanted to bring in?
No. No, yeah. That's my notes for this week.
All right. Well, let's see. This past week, I think it was yesterday. Yeah, yesterday I went to that dog park in Lexington. That's kind of new. That is like a brew pub. So you can drink beer there and it's fenced in and you can have your dogs run around. One thing that kind of like I thought was funny that before you go in, you have to like give them all your dogs like vaccination records and just give them your dog's information, I guess, just in case they get in a fight or something or they bite somebody. And the person who took the information, she had an iPad and she had a lot of stuff like in a little fanny pack. And she was walking around the dog park the entire time. And there was one time where these dogs started like play fighting, not like real fighting, but they just started like kind of wrestling and like making growling noises. Nothing too serious. They're just, I guess, having fun. And the girl goes over there with her iPad and starts taking notes. And I'm like, what are you writing about my dog? I want to know, like, because she didn't instigate this. They're play fighting also. But also Frankie, she barks the loudest out of any dog I ever met in my life. So it's like, I want to know what she's typing down. Like,
that's also weird. Dog. Her job isn't to break up the fight or to tell anybody anything. She just went and took notes, like calmly standing next to the dogs.
Almost like a referee or something for a boxing match. Like, she wasn't stopping the fight. She was just there, like, making sure there wasn't anything. She was probably searching on her phone, like, illegal blows in boxing.
That is not allowed. What is she supposed to write down? That's weird.
I don't know. I don't know if she is making notes or what, but it looked like she was writing notes, taking notes on it. Other than that, it was a cool dog park. Way better than the first dog park brew pub I went to, which was in Charleston, that closed down shortly after I went there. So I went there, and the first thing I saw was like this big river running through it, and all these dogs just swimming in the river. And I'm like, this is like Dog City. There's like no rules here. This is crazy. It's all fenced in, though, which is cool. But I leave, and it was like an all right time, but the dogs were kind of everywhere. There was nobody really supervising dogs to make sure there was no fights happening and stuff. And then like a week later, I saw a post from not even a friend. I think it was somebody a part of that Facebook group for that brew pub that was like, hey, I really appreciate all the thoughts and prayers everybody had for my dog last week when it ran out into the road and got hit by a Hemi. Like, he didn't even say a semi-truck. He was just like, my dog got hit by a Hemi, and I appreciate all the thoughts. And apparently the dog lived, and the picture was him holding his dog, and the dog had like a headband around his skull. I was like, what the fuck? Like, how did it get out? Like, is there an open part of the fence that I just got lucky that
but
Frankie
also
didn't
on top of that, people are wild out here, just like
for real,
holding their dog for a sick picture for posts on the dog park Facebook page.
It was like a chihuahua. It was like a small ass dog too, and I'm like, it got hit by a truck. It got hit by a Hemi truck, and it has like a, it looked like a cartoon of somebody who just got hit by a truck. Like, it had the bandage on its head. And then it closed down like that week, and I don't know if it's something to do with that incident, but I wouldn't be surprised. But yeah, what was I gonna say? Oh, Adam's wedding, I guess, is the other recap of this past week. So friend of the pod, Adam Young, got married to his grad school sweetheart, I would say, or college sweetheart, Emma. That was an excellent weekend. It's good to see Adam all happy, Adam all emotional.
Oh, was he really? That's so sweet. Congratulations,
Adam.
Every
single time I saw Adam, he was crying. He was never not crying. Because he was scared. He didn't know what was going on. No. No, I don't know if Adam cried or not. I don't know. Not that that's a bad... I would cry during my wedding. I don't know. I feel weird talking about this now because it's starting to sound facetious in a way where I'm not trying to be. I just thought it'd be funny if every time we saw Adam, he was just bawling, crying. It's like, the wedding's not till Sunday. The wedding's not till Saturday, Adam. What are you doing?
Cool, cool, cool. Congratulations, Adam.
Congratulations. All right. So the theme today is action movies, action flicks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let me pull up a list of some of the biggest of all time so we don't forget anything.
Yeah, that's what I was noticing, because before the pod, I pulled up like IMDb's like top 100 action films of all time, and I realized that I haven't seen a lot of the classics. Like, I think number one was like one of the Terminators, and I don't think I've seen those since I was a kid, so I don't really remember them.
Yeah, that's like a tough sort of movie, because it is like, oh, I have vague memories of the Terminator movies, but I definitely couldn't speak on them.
I think it is seen as one of those movies kind of like Jaws, to where they didn't have CGI or special effects, and that's why people like it so much. I don't know. I could be wrong on that, but I believe.
I mean, they did have CGI, right? Like, when it becomes like, isn't that famously like it becomes liquid metal to escape the cages and then like reforms?
Maybe I'm like, yeah, thinking maybe I have the opposite like belief on that movie. I thought it wasn't, but no, I mean, you're right. Like, that sounds like something that has to be special effects.
But maybe the first one, because I think that happens in the second one, and maybe the first one was like practical effects and animatronics and stuff.
Yeah. When you think action movies, is it something to where you have to be in a certain mood to watch it, or is it something that you have to watch alone, you know, like, What is your, I guess, connection with action movies in that sense?
Yeah, I think so. Also, it's like, what gets considered an action movie in my mind is like, obviously there's like thrillers and adventure movies that kind of have like action in them, but it's like, It's not an action movie unless it's about one character, in my mind at least, unless it's like following one person who's like going through a series of battles.
Like John Wick?
Yeah, that's like, and I mean, I guess other movies are action movies, but to me, that's like the prototype. Like, that's the real, like, what fits into the box is when it's a movie about one guy going from like a series of set pieces, one to the other.
Yeah, it definitely intensifies the movie, because it's like, you know, like, how can John Wick keep on fighting like hundreds of men, you know, like, so every scene, whether it's not crazier than the last one, it's going to seem crazier and crazier. And that's kind of like the illusion they put off by having just one protagonist. However, I mean, like, there are some other movies where it's like a lot of people, like The Expendables, for example, like, I would say that's like just pure action, you know. But I think, yeah, most movies that are action, they do just kind of focus on one person, and they kind of use that to intensify.
But I'm looking at my top of all time action movies on Letterboxd, and like Lord of the Rings are considered action movies on Letterboxd. I'm like, eh, I guess that's not an action movie.
I would say that's adventure-ish, right? Yeah. I would say that's adventure if it has to fall into something.
Fantasy adventure, yeah.
Yeah.
But okay, so ones that I would, I mean, there's Ran by Akira Kurosawa, but that's kind of smug. I gave 5-star. One Battle After Another. That came out last year. Classic, great action film.
I would say that's action, yeah.
Yeah, because it's following his, what's his name? And he's going from one Leonardo. Battle after another.
For real, yeah. It's a series of events, yeah. Now, an unfortunate series of events. That's fantasy adventure as well, I would say, right? I don't think that would be action.
Shut up.
I would think so. No, I'm not, for real. Like, that
clearly is not action. No, that's like mystery thriller sort of.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I was mixing that up with The Chronicles of Narnia, because that's a little action.
No, I don't know. That's like, also like fantasy adventure.
I think there's battle scenes,
but it just not enough of it is concentrated on the battles to be action.
Right. I mean, that's like calling Twilight an action movie, where it's like, yeah, there's some action in there, but it's mainly like a love story, you know?
Yeah. Next up is Heat, which I know you don't like.
Yeah, Heat was a little too long for me. I think it's a little too drawn out, but I would give it a rewatch. I would watch it one more time, because I know I have never met anybody that says they don't like Heat. So I was like, maybe I'm wrong on this.
Oh, shit. Do you like, there's Mad Max, which, great. That's one of my top
one
on all time. And then Old Boy. Are you an Old Boy fan?
I like Old Boy. It's pretty cool. You like it?
Yeah, I do. It seems like you don't like it that much. You're a little tentative on it.
Nah, I mean,
it's
a very
classic action film. It felt like the guy was going for, like, let's make action.
Yeah. I think it's like one of those movies to where I do like it a lot as a movie, but I think there's just others that kind of I like more, I guess. And I think a lot of people put Old Boy on like the highest pedestal of action or fight scene movies, where I guess when I think fight scenes, like IP Man, I think is my favorite fight scene, like filled movie. You fuck with IP Man?
I do. I liked it a lot when I was younger. I feel like it was one of the first sort of like over the top crazy ones I saw. When I was like maybe early high school or like late middle school, me and my neighbor used to like it a lot.
Yeah. I mean, Old Boy is still fire too. I need to go back and rewatch that. But that's my thing with action movies is where like I resonate action movies with like me trying to decompress and relax, which is so like the opposite of those vibes, you know, but like nothing beats a night where I just have like takeout Chinese food and I'm watching like the dumbest action movie to where the plot is so easy to get. And it's like, this guy's going to fight a lot of people and he's going to be the hero at the end. I'm like, all right, let's go. Which is pretty much every Jason Statham movie. So like, I think of it like that to where it just, I don't know. It just relaxes me. And then when you were talking about, what were we just talking about? IP Man and stuff like that. But something else you mentioned made me think of that. I don't know. I don't know where my train of thought was going, but what were you going to say?
I was just looking through the list. I mean, there's a lot of things I wouldn't consider action in this list, but then there's like all the Bond movies. I mean, I like the Bond movies a good bit. And Monkey Man, Rush Hour.
How do you feel about like, the dumb action movies? Like just the...
How dumb are we talking? I mean, I like some Jason Statham movies.
Did you watch The Beekeeper?
I did watch The Beekeeper. Yeah, I liked that. I liked Working Man enough, but it clearly wasn't as good as The Beekeeper.
Right. I 100% agree. Something about those dumb action flicks to where it's like, and especially if they know they're dumb, I feel like The Beekeeper is like the only one that knew it was dumb. And if it doesn't know it was dumb, I feel bad for that guy. Because there's a lot of bee puns in that movie that were not necessary. It was like if that Michael Scott movie in The Office, Threat Level Midnight, was a full feature film.
Got one last question for you. To be or not to be?
To be. And then he just blows up everything. Such a great movie. I might throw that on tonight. You know, it's interesting with Adrian not being on this one because he famously hates action movies, right?
Yeah, he's like that about a couple of genres. He doesn't like epics. He doesn't like mob movies or action movies.
Now, do you watch any action movies with Izzy or is that not her thing?
That's not her thing. Yeah.
I've experienced that in my last like relationships or like even when I'm like casually dating somebody. Nobody wants to watch action movies anymore, but I think that's a lot of guys too. I don't think it's just like romantic partners, you know? It's like, I feel like I'm watching so many action movies right now as a single man because I know that once I have like 30 girlfriends in a few weeks that I'm not going to be able to watch these movies anymore. I'm going to have to watch like, I don't know, like Powerpuff Girls and like watch gymnastics and watch
WNBA.
Well,
save that conversation because that is my advice column. So we can talk about it more there.
Okay, I'll save it. I'll put a lid on that. I'll put some Mentos in that. Then put a lid on it, then shake it up. I was going to say there was a thin line between adventure movies and action movies, but I think it's just a misconception, you know? Because I think some people may even look at, like, maybe Full Metal Jacket as an action movie, and it's like, that's more of a story. You know what I mean? I don't think that's an action movie. I don't know. That's more of like a storytelling or adventure movie, kind of.
I guess it's like the difference between an action war movie, which would be like an action movie that just happens to be set in war versus that would be like a war action movie. You know what I mean? That's a war movie that just has a couple action scenes.
Yeah.
Even then, it doesn't really have action scenes because all the battling is like done from planes and shooting. Like, I mean, it's intense, but it almost needs to be an action movie. I feel like in my mind, there needs to be punching and kicking and like camera work around the like people moving around each other.
Something kind of unique with it too, that we're like even in like each of the John Wick movies, I think in each one they added somewhat of a new element to their fight scenes because they realized that the whole movie is just fight scenes pretty much. It's a good story too, but it's like you can't just have gunplay the entire movie for your action movie. So like, I think like one movie they introduced like horses in it to where like he was like shooting people while he was riding a horse. Another one they introduced like swords and like knives and just other weapons.
Even if you have gunplay though, it needs to be like kinetic gunplay. You know what? Matrix. That's one of the best action movies of all time.
100%. That's a really good action movie. Have you seen Fight or Flight with Josh Hartnett?
No.
That is the definition of a dumb action movie. But the fight scenes in there are fucking awesome. They're so cool. It's kind of like how the fight scenes were in The Beekeeper. Like, they're like that level of fight scenes, but the story's not as good as The Beekeeper one. He's on an airplane the whole time, though. It's really cool. I'm trying to think if I have any more like hard thoughts on action movie. I mean, it's just like a comfort thing for me. I feel like really just like having a nice dinner and then watching a really dumb fight scenes over and over again. Do you have a particular fight scene that you find like one of the best fight scenes of all time?
Oh, that's tough.
I think I know one that everybody says is their favorite fight scene. It's that it's the Kingsman fight scene in the church.
Oh, I haven't seen The Kingsman.
Oh, that's a good movie. That's a funny movie too. And yeah, there's this one fight scene that I think a lot of it, or like some of it's in slow motion actually, but the whole thing has Freebird playing while they're fighting, and it's just a pretty crazy fight scene. Good movie though. I wouldn't look up just the fight scene first. I would watch the whole movie because it's fire. And I think they made like a second and a third one too. Yeah, I can't think of any other like huge iconic ones, but obviously, yeah, The Matrix has the whole thing where he's like doing the back thing, you know?
Yeah.
And then what was it? Was it Wanted where he like curved the bullet or something like that?
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, I think Wanted with James McAvoy, I think he's in it. Oh, how do we not talk about Fight Club? That's like, there's a lot of fight scenes in it.
Yeah, I guess. Not really that many.
I guess that was more of like a storytelling, weird, like, noir film.
Not to be woke, but I did like The Woman King a lot. I see that that's actually pretty up there for my rated movies. That had some good fight scenes.
Okay.
But that's closer to, like, The Gladiator, so I don't know if, like, you would consider The Gladiator, like, you know, an action movie.
Yeah, you know what? I think I watched The Gladiator going into it and thinking it was going to be an action-packed movie, and I was a little disappointed, but I still haven't watched the new one either that came out a few years ago.
If you didn't like the first one, the new one's just that, but worse.
Yeah. Well, sweet. You want to get into a column? So this first article is from Slate. Do y'all use Slate? Is this like an acceptable source?
Yeah. Slate is like our most used one every single time.
Okay, sweet.
I didn't know. Is that a joke?
No, I actually like, because all I like remember for some reason from listening to y'all's pods for years is that y'all do Dear Prudence and Dear Abby, I think. For some reason, I don't remember the Slate ones. There's Prudence and Abby stuck out to me, especially Prudence. Like, why would you need
Dear Prudence? Prudence is on Slate.
Oh, it is. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
But Slate does have a couple other ones, but that's always the craziest one.
So this one's from Care and Feeding. Have you done Care and Feeding before?
We have. A lot of people think it's Karen Feeding.
Karen Feeds.
A lot of people are like, oh, it took me forever to realize that that was Care and Feeding, not Karen Feeding.
Oh, I thought it was Karen. Just even reading it right now, I still think it's Karen. Dear Karen Feeding, my husband and I have been married for 16 years. He is a hardworking professional, and we are raising two daughters, ages 7 and 10, who are smart and sweet. For the most part, he is a loving and thoughtful guy, but we keep hitting a wall when it comes to our kids and media. We have a different point of view on media consumption as a whole, and specifically, what's appropriate for our kids to watch. If I had it my way, we wouldn't even have a TV in the living room. My husband, on the other hand, has to have the biggest TV with the most amazing soundbar, etc. While I err on the side of caution, he doesn't see anything wrong with a little sex, violence, and gore. He claims it's nothing. My kids claim otherwise. Whenever they see something, however brief, that disturbs them, they tell me about it. For instance, they saw one moment of a preview for a scary movie, and the images were enough to spook my daughter enough for weeks. Most recently, my older daughter saw an old Western where a group of men grab a woman from a wagon, tear her blouse, expose her breast, and throw her to the ground. My daughter told me, with my husband present, that what she had seen had bothered her and that she couldn't get it out of her head. My husband said, it was nothing. She didn't see anything. I turned it off. My daughter and I talked. She told me to do the voice. She puts the voice in parentheses. My daughter and I talked about how it was just a movie, etc. But I don't like how she keeps on saying etc. after listing one example. My daughter and I talked about how it was just a movie, etc. But that kind of talk rings hollow when the topic revolves around the very real issue of sexual violence, not a make-believe psychotic clown in a sewer. What movie is she talking about? When I brought this up to my husband privately, he accused our 10-year-old of being calculating and doing this to get him in trouble. Wow. Hold on, let me reread that. When I brought this up to my husband privately, he accused our 10-year-old of being calculating and doing this to get me in trouble. Of course, this led to a fight and him sleeping downstairs. I want him to protect our girls from this kind of stuff for as long as possible. But when I say this to him, he gets enraged at the suggestion that he doesn't take care of his kids. He thinks because he works hard and makes a good living, that's sufficient. Am I overreacting or being overprotective? Both of which he accuses me of. From Protective Mama.
You know, I'm so on the side of like, you should let your kids definitely push the boundaries of what media they're allowed to watch. Like, you don't have to show them the worst, most goriest stuff when they're young, but if they're interested in something and it doesn't seem like it's upsetting them, I do think like it's a little ridiculous the boundaries some parents put on their kids, like with action or gore or nudity. But clearly these kids don't want to see this. They find
That's
it disturbing.
Yeah, it's like he's forcing these kids to watch. Like, what kind of fucking what movie was he watching? An old Western where
he probably
I don't even want to watch an old Western.
Because when it happens in an old movie, you're always like, ah, it feels silly and not real. But like, obviously, dude, these kids, they're taking it really damn serious, man. You gotta leave them alone.
For real. And it's like, they're only 7 and 10. That's so young to watch a movie like that. Like,
watch it when they go to bed. Like, why does he need to have it on when they're out? It makes no sense why he's so stubborn about this.
Yeah. I think, like, that's just the weird part of the question. It doesn't seem like the kids are willingly wanting to watch this with their dad.
Yeah.
It's like the dad is showing them this movie, like, in their bedroom. Like, enjoy Pennywise, kids. It's like,
I think this would be fine if the kids were into it. I'd be like, yeah, like, I don't know. Our culture is a little too precious about some of this stuff. Like, people can see a little nudity, a little violence.
Yeah.
But they're not into it. So what's the question here? Don't make your kids watch something that's disturbing them.
This seems like a pretty easy question to answer. Like, tell your husband to stop showing these old Westerns and horror movies in front of your 7 and 10-year-old daughters. He sounds like a horrible father.
This is such a slam dunk one to answer. It is funny. It is funny how defensive he is, too. Oh, honey, you know how our daughter is. She's a fucking liar.
Yeah, he only knows, like, scary and, like daunting movie references. So he's like, yeah, our daughters are being real Annabelles right now. You ever notice that, babe? They're being real Emily Roses right now.
Our daughters are being real Gone Girls right now. I'm fucking tired of them. All they do is manipulate you.
Why don't they want to watch The Kite Runner with me? Name one scene in Kite Runner that's bad.
Why don't they want to watch Old Boy with me? Name one scene in Old Boy that's not okay for a kid.
Yeah, it's like, babe, when they were in kindergarten and learning about colors, I thought it would be a good father thing of me to show them 50 Shades of Grey. And I guess I'm the bad guy.
Name 25 scenes in The Human Centipede that are not appropriate for children. You can't do it.
Because there's only 24. There's only 24. I like how she said he had to sleep downstairs after an argument. I like to think that their bedroom is downstairs and she was just being dramatic. Do you think when they get in a fight and their bedroom is downstairs, the husband's like, fine, I guess I'll sleep downstairs tonight. And then he just gets back into bed.
Do you think he says, fine, I'll sleep in the doghouse, but he renovated the doghouse to be really nice?
Yeah, he works for the show Tiny House Nation, and he made a doghouse very accessible to humans. Oh, that is such a good idea.
For a husband to say, I guess I'm in the doghouse.
I guess I'll sleep on the couch tonight, but it's one of those couches that are like a movie theater couch, you know, that like stretches out, turns to a full bed.
I don't know
cup
about
holders.
This. What's a movie theater couch?
Oh, a movie theater? You gotta shop on Temu more, my boy. What does he mean when he says the 10-year-old is being calculating? Why is he acting like she's like plotting a scheme against him, like trying to get him in trouble?
I bet she's being calculating.
Because it's like, it's one thing if the husband is watching a raunchy movie and then he's like, oh no, my daughter's going to tell on me. But it's like, no, you're watching the raunchy movie and then making your daughters watch it and being like, are you trying to get me in trouble? It's like, no, you're trying to ruin my childhood.
This does seem so irrational. I'm a little shocked her whole thing is like, oh, in every other situation he's normal. It's like, I cannot imagine that he's normal in every other situation if this is how he's acting about this. You know what I mean?
Like, I almost want to reword the question and the situation and give some sound advice, but it just wouldn't help in this situation because your husband is clearly nuts. Like, she's just asking, am I overreacting or being overprotective or both? It's like, no, you're just neither. You're just being a mom. You're just telling her, like, you don't have to watch The Exorcist tonight.
All right. Should we listen to the answer?
Yeah, let's see. Let's see. All right. Dear protective mama. You are neither overreacting nor being overprotective. You're right to shield your children from violent images. And yes, of course, sexual violence in particular. Your husband is dead wrong. And I can't tell you why he is determined not to protect the kids from this kind of harmful imagery. Especially since it sounds as if he isn't just being careless or thoughtless, but seems to feel there's a sort of principle to be upheld. Is it possible he's oppositional? Rebellious? That this is a big, you're not the boss of me statement? Ooh, I didn't even think about that. Whatever's going on with him, it doesn't sound like talking to him about this in the way that you have been is going to make a whit of difference. You will not be surprised that I am going to recommend marriage counseling. Whoa, okay. It seems pretty clear to me that there is a problem between the two of you, and that it may be the tip of the iceberg. But in the meantime, since he refuses to get the message that nothing inappropriate for them should be on the TV when they are in the room, keep them out of the room. I would actually make a rule. No playing in the living room when daddy's home. Maybe he'll get the message that way. Your daughters will be fine playing elsewhere. I recognize that it may be a challenge for you, particularly if the living room is a central room in your house where everything happens, and your husband continues to insist that there must be a TV in that room, an enormous one, to boot. But please do not turn this into an escalation of the power struggle that already exists between you and your husband. Why should my daughters not be able to play in my living room scenario? And you might want to make that appointment for counseling sooner rather than later, because I am pretty sure he's not going to like this rule any more than you will. And his calling you overprotective sounds like a trigger for you. All right, so that kind of put the situation in a different light, because it seems like the kids are playing in the living room and he has control over the TV. So they're seeing this imagery kind of unwillingly. He's not necessarily being like, let's all sit down and watch this movie.
Yeah, but I mean, like, she's adding that context. We don't really know, but yeah.
That's true.
I mean, I think that was good enough advice. It is weird that he's like, this feels like it'd be so easy to see reason on an like situation like this. You know what I do when people are being this hard-headed about something they're clearly wrong on?
What do you
maybe
do?
It's mean. But I think you got to bring in a person that they respect, because it's so obvious they're wrong that you just have to find, like, is it their mom, their dad, a third party who you know they look up to, or just like they generally trust them as a person. And you got to bring it up around them so the person goes, what the fuck are you doing? No, do not show your 10-year-old violent movies that are scaring them. And then you got to embarrass him publicly is what I'm getting at. You can't make it too obvious that's what you're doing. You can't go on Facebook and post about this and tag him. That's a little too aggro. That's trashy.
I wonder if, I mean, this is kind of their third party, I guess, like the whole care and feeding thing. But like, it's not like this guy, if this guy's watching old Westerns where women are getting abused, like in a town, I doubt he's reading Care and Feeding and be like, you know what? She's right. You know, or he's right. Karen's right. But I get what you mean. Yeah. I think a third party is very helpful for like to solve any argument really. And, okay, well, last input. What would you do if you and Izzy had a kid and every time you came home, Izzy was playing Tusk with Justin Long in front of the kids? And they said, Papa, Mama's playing Tusk again. And Izzy's like, it's fine. But how would you bring that up to Izzy?
I'd be like, our kids are being pussies again. I don't know what to do.
Izzy looks up and said, it's fine. And she has her own Tusk in her mouth. Like she bought the Halloween. It's Tusk time. It's Tusk Tuesday.
All right. I sent you my column. It's Caroline Hacks. So I'll just jump right into it. Dear Caroline, my boyfriend and I have started doing a weekly movie night where we take turns choosing a movie and watch it together with snacks and beers and laughter.
Sounds fun.
Why do I put that phrase in quotation marks? Because even though I have sat through every single one of my boyfriend's picks, including the very boring one that was just a 90-minute car chase and the one that scared me so badly I couldn't sleep that night, somehow it always works out that if I pick a movie he doesn't want to watch, I end up getting pressured into choosing something else instead. Either he sighs and makes a big show of what a sacrifice he's going to make by watching it, or else he outright asks me to pick something in some other category because he's not in the mood for whatever I picked.
So this is just a movie night with her and her partner, right?
Yeah.
Filled with laughter. It seems like you're not really filled with laughter, ma'am. It seems like you have a bad relationship and you should dump him.
It sounds like they're having a great time. I think he's great at picking movies because they're filled with beards and stacks of laughters. And maybe if they picked her stupid movies, it wouldn't be.
It would be filled with water and crying and no hors d'oeuvres, nothing. It would be hungry. I think you should do that thing where you have like... No, not that. I was thinking like, you know those date night jars people have where they like randomly pick a piece of paper out of a jar and it shows what they're going to do? Something with that with movies. Like they both write down their movies in a jar, like maybe like 10 movies each. And then every time they do movie night, they just randomly pick one.
Oh, you're not going to convince this guy to do that. Yeah, I feel like this guy, right? He's using like the casual pressure of being like, yeah, we alternate picks. But he just pressures her every time she gets her pick.
Yeah.
So it's if he picked it out of the jar, he would be like, I don't know if we should be watching Wedding Crashers tonight. Let's try again.
Yeah. See, that would be so annoying to me because it's like rules are rules, you know? If it's my night, I'm picking the movie. If I want to pick a movie that's obviously going to be like traumatizing or triggering towards you, you know? Like, I don't know. I wouldn't like be insensitive about my picks, but it's like if it's as simple as like you like romantic comedies and your boyfriend likes action thriller gunplay movies, then it's like he's never going to let you choose the movie and you got to go ahead and make those rules now and be like, hey, if it's my night, are we doing my movie or is it going to be your night? Again, I'm not in a relationship. I'm not one to bring up like how you should talk to your partner. But Paul, do you think this is appropriate for a role-playing situation?
Yeah, let's try it.
All right. Do you want to be the boyfriend or the girlfriend?
Ooh, the boyfriend's more fun in this situation because he gets to be hard-headed. But I know you like playing hard-headed characters too much. So you got to be the girlfriend.
I do like playing that character.
And I know that's what you're defaulting to if I let you be the boyfriend.
Yeah. You know, so I'll be the girlfriend. It'll be more of a challenge for me. Okay. Hey, you ready for movie night? I think it's my night.
Yeah, of course. Let's watch what you want this week. You know, I've been gotten the last couple.
Yep, you have. But tonight's going to be filled with beer, snacks, and...
Laughter. That's our catchphrase.
Well, let's go. Okay. So let's see. I'm just scrolling here. Oh, here we go. Can we watch The Notebook? I haven't seen that. I know it's a classic romantic movie. Oh,
yeah, I mean, it is your night. Let's, know that rule. No films about Notebooks. We said that at the beginning.
We did? I forgot about that rule. Oh, so okay, so just no films about Notebooks? Okay, so let's see. Can we watch, how about...
Babe, hurry up. Come on, it's your night. You should have come ready.
I'm sorry. I'm just scrolling right now. Okay, here we go. Can we watch 50 First Dates?
You know my rule. I fucking hate Adam Sandler. You know I was up for that part in Waterboy, and he took the role from me. I can't stand him anymore.
That's true. I forgot about that other rule. You do have a lot of rules that I keep on forgetting, so just remind me of the rules.
Adam Sandler stole my career from me. And you want me to him money while I'm trying to unwind and relax with some snacks, some beers, and some laughter. We're having a good time.
Okay, how about The Wedding Singer? Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to mention another Adam Sandler movie, babe. That was so insensitive of me.
It was.
How about...
So why don't we just go ahead and watch Matrix 2 again?
Babe, this is the third time we'll be watching Matrix 2 in 3 days.
It's a classic for a reason. Okay, okay. Yeah, wait, it's your night. It's your night. I don't mean to be like that. You pick, you pick, you pick. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
How about The Matrix 3? Don't tell me you have a rule about, like, trequels or trilogies.
No, of course not. Of course not. But how are we going to watch The Matrix 3 without the context? And you know what comes before The Matrix 3? The Matrix 2.
We have pretty good context, so we've been watching it. I mean, this is three times this week. We watched it.
It's a movie with layers. There's a lot to get. The first time you watch it, you're just kind of there to get, like, the high-level plot. The second time, you're, like, you're understanding the motivations of the characters. The third time,
you're... So, are you saying if we watch The Matrix 2 right now, right afterwards, we could watch The Matrix 3?
Of course. I promise I won't do all of this again.
Well, the way you're saying that, the way you inflected that sentence, and the way you put a sleeping gown on and a nightcap, seems like you're going to fall asleep right after The Matrix 2.
What? No.
Why are you... Wait, why is your snack melatonin?
Hmm?
Why are you saying hmm as in you know you're sneaky right now?
Me?
Yeah. Who else is in this room besides... this statue of Neo from The Matrix 2. Not The Matrix. You said he's from The Matrix 2, which I'm like, he's the same Neo.
What?
All right, you sound pretty convincing. Let's watch The Matrix 2. And scene. See, that's how easy it is to compromise in a relationship. Yeah. You just lie.
All right, so I don't think that was helpful to this woman. Because that
Oh, I know it wasn't helpful. I can go ahead and pull the pin on that. Yeah, it just sounds like your boyfriend's not being fair. That's the thing. You got to point out and just go ahead and start establishing the rules now. Like, hey, I want to keep on watching movies with you, but if it's my night, I don't want any argument for it. And if it's your night, I won't have any argument for it. And I've never had an argument for it. I do like the scenario of let's say it's you and Izzy in this situation, but she's being the boyfriend that's not agreeing to watch your movies. And you're like, yeah, tonight I want to watch Horton Hears a Who. And she's like, you know, I do like movies where there are Tusk involved. Let's maybe steer this in a different direction. And you're like, what? I'm like, let's just type in Tusk and see what comes up. But like, we know what's going to come up. I know there's a movie called...
That is a good pick for most random movie for a person to want to watch a lot.
Imagine meeting somebody whose favorite movie is Tusk. I would end our friendship. That's such a weird pick. Okay, I'm trying to think of at least one more like sound piece of advice for this girl, because it just like, it's like the same. I have the same answer I do with a lot of these questions about relationships. It's like, and you and Adrian say this all the time, like, dump them. Like, you sound like you have a bad partner. I guess maybe that's why I'm not in a relationship, because anytime conflict happens, I'm like, let's just end this. Let's just go our own ways.
Is that true?
No. I usually try to fix things. But, I mean, like, if you're so scared to ask, you're not scared to ask your boyfriend, but you're unsure how to ask him that you have to write into an advice column, it's like, how was y'all's communication, you know?
Yeah, what's crazy about this is she didn't say, I tried to talk to him about this and it hasn't changed. It's right. Just, yeah, because with something like this, it's like, he might not realize how obnoxious he's acting because he's probably forgetting he did this the week before. And it is obnoxious and he should stop. But it's like, if you haven't talked to him outside of movie night, I don't know if it's fair to like, I don't know, like internalize this as like, oh, he's being a jerk. He might just not realize.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And this could be a newer relationship too, and maybe she's just like, yeah, I don't know if I want to start conflict this early in the relationship. Maybe I should just get advice and see if I'm overreacting, maybe.
But I do think you need to bring it up, because you can't spend your whole life not watching the movie you want to watch. So it's like, bring it up, and if he's hard-headed about it, there you go. One more red flag to know if this is like not the person you should be with.
Yeah. I just hope that like the girls that I go on dates with, I just hope that like if they really felt that way, they would tell me if they want me to stop showing them The Beekeeper like 7 nights out of the week. Like, just say something and I'll stop showing it to you. I just don't know any other movies, you know?
That makes sense.
Just tell me if you don't want to watch Everybody Loves Raymond, which, I mean, I know you'll be lying because you want to watch it.
Cool. Do we want to hear the answer?
Yeah, let's hear it.
is he this selfish and intolerant in other aspects of your relationship? Because my husband and I trade off movie picks all the time. He knows I have no stomach for violence, and I know he loses patience with some of the intricately plotted films that I like. So we take each other's preferences into account. Somehow we still manage to delight each other with our selection almost every time. And he would tell you there have been many times that he initially rolled his eyes at one of my picks, but watched it anyway, like a good sport, only to end up loving the film. I guess we each have a general willingness to indulge each other in small ways like this. I don't know why you should be in a relationship with someone who wouldn't, honestly. I don't know. I found Caroline Hacks. Did it seem like she was like, my husband's a bit of a dum-dum? The intricately plotted movies that I like. He was, you know, he's a good sport about it. He doesn't know what's happening. he's like, honey, none of these characters have tusks. I'm lost.
Wait, so are they like people? Like, well, cool. Anything else to say about Hax's answer?
No, it was good. It seems like she was just bragging about her relationship and how her dumb husband likes her movies. She didn't say, sometimes he says, I have the best movie picks of all time. And sometimes I really love his movies. She left that out. She's like, and his movies are stupid.
Nope.
She didn't say it goes both ways. She said, sometimes he ends up really loving my movies. All right, big fact. When it comes to action movies, you gotta force your girlfriend to watch them because that's half the fun.
And when it, in my no cap is, show your 7 and 10 year old daughters The Beekeeper. That's the only graphic movie they should be allowed to watch. None of these westerns, none of these Pennywise movies. Just The Beekeeper. You know what? Even if you're not 7 and 10, watch. Go home, watch The Beekeeper.
Everybody should be watching The Beekeeper at least once a month.
Mm-hmm. And have it on Blu-ray like me.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Nice. Bye, buddy.
All right, I'll stop recording now.